Welcome to the Growth Zone, where we explore dauntless leadership, dramatic business growth, and the strategies and tactics you can use to grow your business in Japan and beyond. I'm Stephen Bleistein. Are you ready to grow? Let's get started. Today's episode was inspired by a call I received from a reporter at The Telegraph in the UK. He was writing about the challenges companies face when entering the Japan market and wanted my views. I've spent decades working with foreign companies trying to grow in Japan and with Japanese companies trying to grow beyond Japan. I've seen what works and what doesn't, and I've found that the conventional wisdom about Japan, the warnings, the caveats, the endless hedging, gets it wrong far more often than it gets it right. So today, I want to share my market entry manifesto, a set of principles that I believe apply not just to Japan, but to any market, anywhere in the world. Principle 1. Language is no barrier for those who know how to communicate. There's a pervasive belief that to do business in Japan, you need to either speak Japanese fluently or hire someone who does. And while language ability is certainly useful, I want to challenge the assumption that language is the primary barrier. Being skilled at international communication means being able to understand people even when you don't share a common language. Even between two native English speakers, miscommunication is constant. We assume we're understood when we're not. We let vagueness slide when we should ask for clarification. The real skill isn't linguistic. It's the discipline to confirm understanding, to ask questions, to give concrete examples when something seems unclear. In my experience, that kind of communication rigor is both rare and universally effective in Japan and everywhere else. Don't let language anxiety become an excuse for poor communication fundamentals. Principle 2. Do your own market validation. Always. I hear this constantly from executives preparing to enter Japan. We commissioned a market report. Or we spoke with JETRO. Or we have an advisor who knows the Japan market well. None of that is enough. Standardized market reports are built on generalized assumptions that may have nothing to do with your specific product or customer. Trade promotion organizations have their own institutional incentives that don't always align with yours. And Japan market experts, people who sell their knowledge of Japan as their primary value, often tell you what you want to hear or what they believe based on how things worked years ago. The only reliable validation is the kind you do yourself. Meet with actual prospects, ask your questions directly, test your assumptions in the real world with real potential customers, and see what breaks. You understand your business better than any external advisor. Trust that understanding enough to test it. Principle 3. Hire a great leader, not a well-connected local. This is perhaps the most consistently misunderstood piece of market entry strategy I encounter. The conventional wisdom says, hire an older Japanese man with industry experience and an established network. He knows people. He can open doors. I have never seen this work. Not once. Here's the problem. Someone who sees their primary value as their network of relationships, their Rolodex, will always prioritize the health of those relationships over the needs of your business. When doing what's right for your business would mean asking something inconvenient of a contact, they will hesitate. The contact wins. Your business loses. Industry experience does not automatically translate into business acumen or leadership capability. Japanness does not make a person an expert on business in Japan. Being Japanese is not a credential. If all the advice typically given to foreign companies entering Japan had been followed, 7-Eleven would never have launched here. Costco would not have opened. BMW, Michelin, Adidas, Godiva. None of them would have gotten off the ground. And yet, all of them have thrived. What they had in common was great leadership, not simply local connectivity. Principle 4. Demanding customers are an asset, not an obstacle. Japan has a global reputation for exceptionally demanding consumers and clients. Quality standards here are high. Tolerance for mediocrity is low. This intimidates many companies before they even arrive. But here's how the best companies have reframed it. They use Japan as a product development crucible. Adidas and Michelin both develop specific products for the Japan market and then sell those products globally, because the standards required to succeed in Japan produce some of the best products in their respective categories. If your product can meet the bar in Japan, it can meet the bar anywhere. Principle 5. The most successful companies disrupt the system. They don't adapt to it. Let me be direct. There is a category of advice that gets repeated endlessly about doing business in Japan. Go slow. Build consensus. Be patient. Adapt to local customs. Don't rock the boat. And then I look at the companies that have actually achieved remarkable success here, and I find the opposite story. Fast retailing turned the clothing industry on its head. SoftBank redefined what service looks like in consumer telecommunications. Starbucks changed what a coffee shop could be. Honda, in its early years, ignored ministerial directives entirely when it entered the car market. The pattern isn't adaptation, it's disruption. It's a refusal to accept the existing system as the constraint. What do you intend to disrupt? If you don't have an answer to that question, you may not be ready to enter. One final thought. And this is the point I want you to carry with you. Everything I've just said about Japan, replace the word Japan with any country you're considering. The United States, Germany, Brazil, Vietnam, any market, the principles don't change. Great leadership matters everywhere. Market validation matters everywhere. Demanding customers are an asset everywhere. The peculiarities of any market, including Japan, are real. But they are rarely the decisive variable. Execution is. Don't let geography become an excuse for weak strategy. That's a wrap on today's Growth Zone. Keep growing, keep leading, dauntlessly. I'm Stephen Blystein, and I'll see you in the next episode.